You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer. Opinionated. Whovian. Female. The Terminus Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher and many other favorite podcatchers. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com or on Twitter at terminuscast or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast or finally on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you some sci-fi news for this week, which is the early part of September 2016. So, a couple of things I'm going to be talking about. We have news about a Black Lightning series that's coming to TV. I also wanted to talk about something that's dealing with real science and not science fiction. And lastly, I want to talk about the passing of Gene Wilder. So, let's go back to Black Lightning. I'm familiar with the character, but not to the nth degree that I know everything about this character. When I go back to my childhood and I remember the Super Friends, I remember there was a similar character named Black Vulcan that was on the show. So as I was doing the research, I found out that there was some problems going on between the creator, Tony Isabella, and some kind of dispute with DC Comics. So they could not use that character, hence why Black Vulcan was made. So I thought that was interesting, and I had no idea, but basically it's the exact same character. The other thing was that the original version of the Black Lightning character was completely, how can I put this? Okay, aside from him being a black superhero, which is great, the history behind it was that there was a character named the Black Bomber. And basically, it was a white racist who would turn into a black superhero under stress. So I have no idea how that was even possible. I remember something similar in the movies back in the 70s, something called Watermelon Man, in which a black guy who somehow turned black overnight and had to live a life as a black man. So I guess for the period, that's what you want to do. But I just found it weird that that's how they approach the origin of a superhero. But what I had to say was that I guess Tony Isabella had written previously for Marvel Comics, who did Luke Cage, which of course is coming to Netflix very soon. So he was able to adapt and at least salvage the remnants of Black Lightning and make this a better character than the Black Bomber. So I'm kind of really interested to see how it all turns out. But again, what I love about this is that there is a hell of a lot more diversity that's going on with DC. And even though that Marvel is doing Luke Cage, we are going to get a Black Panther movie, eventually Miss Marvel, DC is really pushing the envelope as far as getting the content out there for diversity. So even though Marvel is doing great with the movies and the Netflix series are also good, but after a while, everything starts to seem the same. So I give kudos, major kudos to DC and for Greg Berlanti, who has done The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, and bringing in another character into the mix. So we'll see how much it goes from this point on. But again, there's going to be a point in which we're going to be sick of superheroes. But for right now, I'm kind of cool with this. What am I going to be talking about that's science related? Not science fiction. Well, let me go back a bit. When I lived in Orlando, there was someone who I liked, one of my co-workers, and every once in a while we have conversations about anything. But this one particular conversation I had was about string theory, a documentary I saw about string theory. And I got really fascinated, and I started to talk to her about this. And she saw how animated or how lively I looked talking about this. Which, you know, back then, I was going through a rough patch with borders and planning to leave the company that I was with for over 7 years. But there were times in which I would have these geek out moments. So it's no wonder that I am attracted to actual science. So something came up in the news recently in which from it's in the direction of HD 164595, which I have no idea which direction that is, but it comes from a planet system in the constellation Hercules. So May 15th, there was some type of signal that the Russians had picked up. So with that, as I was reading about that article and talking about, well, it's about 100 light years to begin with. So for a signal to reach us the way it did, there's something about a Kardashev scale. So to surmise what type of civilization, the scale determined it to be a type 2 civilization. So I said, again, why am I talking about science fiction? I mean, why am I talking about science? Well, because there is a connection to science fiction. In fact, Star Trek, which is, oddly enough, the 50th anniversary coming up, which I don't have a show for that, but we'll see what happens in the coming days. But there is an episode in Star Trek The Next Generation, which is called Relics, in which James Doohan, who you know as Scotty, was trapped in a transporter beam with a ship that crash-landed on a Dyson sphere. Now, the Dyson sphere, not the vacuum cleaner, but the guy who came up with this was Freeman Dyson, and he theorized that it could be possible to build, not a wall like Donald Trump, but to build an encapsulation that incorporated the sun as well as a couple of planets so that all the radiation could be captured within that system. So that's what you would consider a type 2 civilization. For us, we're about 1,000 years to be at a type 1 civilization. So for to make that kind of connection, that really kind of blew me away, because this could be a very big thing. This could be like the movie From Contact, in which we do get a signal, and there is something that's out there that's trying to contact us. And then as I was reading, you know, what makes it then a type 3 civilization? And basically that's some civilization that's about 100,000 to 1,000,000 years ahead of us, on top of everything that we're doing. So it's fun to get inspired about the universe that's around us. But then, this is where the dark side of me comes into play. And that's going to be basically, I came across a guy that would talk about the universe being a hologram. And, you know, for the most part, everyone has their ideas about the universe. Whether it's real, whether it's not, are there aliens? I want to believe that there's something that's beyond us. But this one physics person who lives down in Argentina, his name is Juan Maldacena. He had proposed basically that since the gravity for a black hole in 10 dimensions would have, I guess, certain characteristics. When someone went over his theory and did the exact same thing, but with lower dimensions, they found out that it was the exact same calculations, which meant that basically we would be living in a hologram universe. So, which gets me really depressed because, you know, you wonder, is this really a thing? Well, that's up to you to decide and for you to do your research. But, man, it would suck that we all do this for nothing. That all this is gone. That what if the white light that we hear about when people die or come close to dying and they see their relatives waiting for them on the other side, it's just you taking off your goggles or whatever device, and then there you see your family. They're just waiting for you. So basically, what's after that? So it gets into this weird mindset for me, you know, that I'm getting 1 year closer to being 50. And these kind of things is just kind of not screw up my mind, but it just makes me want to think about the bigger picture. So even though as I enjoy talking about science and discovering what is the string theory concept and so forth, it's also troubling to find out that what if things really are just not real. Well, you know, you're listening to me thinking the exact same thing, that I'm not real, but you're listening to me recording this. I don't know. It's just a weird sense. So, which leads into this. You know, the fact that I've talked about, in 2016, a hell of a lot of people that passed away. Gene Wilder was, to me, not so much that sad that he has passed away. I mean, he was dealing with Alzheimer's, and he was in his 80s. So, that happens. At least he's in a better place. Maybe he's out of the hologram. I don't know. But there was a lot of joy in watching him. And I've watched his movies growing up, which such as the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We had Young Frankenstein, The Producers, Blazing Saddles, lots of movies with Richard Pryor. So I really was dumbstruck when this happened, and I let it kind of stew for a bit, and I found out that he did not care for the remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that was done by Tim Burton and Johnny Depp. I hated that movie. It was devoid of anything that I knew growing up watching Gene Wilder. So as I was doing the research further, I had found out that the Dahl family, who had the rights to the movie, had artistic rights to it. So they had to make sure that they had the right person. And they believed that they have the right person, which was Tim Burton. I even did a quick poll online, and I want to thank Rosa, Lena, and Tigger for doing a quick yes or no, or who was your favorite Willy Wonka actor, and everyone picked Gene Wilder. So it's a no-brainer. But the family believed that Tim Burton's version is more closely aligned to what the book was. And, you know, I spoke to my wife, I spoke to my daughter, and they said there are a lot of elements that were from the book that were in the movie. But it didn't really make it good. There's been plenty of cases in which the old theory is the book is always better than the movie. Not always the case. I talked about this before. Blade Runner. Do androids dream of electric sheep? I've read that book on audio. And there are elements that are taken from the book, put into the movie, but a good deal of it, I would say more than 50% of that, was not even put into the damn movie. Namely the Mercer aspect, which is the god that they refer to a lot, called Mercer. Thank God that did not make it into the Blade Runner movie. And what was another one? 101 Dalmatians. My wife actually read the book, and there was a lot more storyline that was not put into the actual movie. But from what we know, if you watch 101 Dalmatians, you would be fine with that level. But if you read the book, then it's up to you. You have a right to like what you like. And I'm sure someone out there, not me, enjoyed Johnny Depp's performance as Willy Wonka. And enjoyed this version that was, to me, a big mess. But it is what it is. Everyone has an idea of what things should be with the movie. But on the level that Gene Wilder was able to give this whole sense of, with this, the walking cane scene at the very beginning, in which he makes his grand entrance, and he's walking with the use of a cane as an aid, and it was his idea to use that cane to show something about him being off. Because if you know that scene, the cane gets stuck in between the bricks, and then he topples over, he comes up, and he's fine again. So he instilled this whole thing about, well, does Willy Wonka always tell the truth? And you can't really take his word at what he's saying. And that's kind of like the setup for the whole character. Whereas Johnny Depp was just off and quirky and weird looking with the Prince Valiant haircut. And it just was not fun. It missed everything that I loved about it. And to me, even the music, even though it was more updated, there's nothing like hearing Gene Wilder saying, you know, that famous song of Pure Imagination. There's nothing like that. So there's a gentleness behind his voice, and his performance is really can be scary at times, like when he's yelling at Charlie at the end, that he's just like, you know, I've had it with you. You blew the contract. You get nothing. And Charlie does that one deed of giving back the candy, and then there's that softness side that he comes out with, and it's just wonderful. And that's the kind of character that I find myself to be always wanting to see in any kind of story, that kind of fun, whimsical character that was very appealing. So it goes back to the whole thing. Maybe, after all, he's not dead. I want to believe that, you know, there is something more out there. And that we are energy. We are made of energy. Like black lightning, tying that back to the beginning. And we just change it just a different form. And yes, I'm going to use this reference. There was an episode of the Justice League, the animated series, in which people thought that Superman had died. But Batman didn't believe that because there was no evidence of it, because he said energy cannot be destroyed. So if energy cannot be destroyed, and we are made of energy, then we will live on somehow. in some way, some fashion. It's life as we know it, Captain. Or something to that effect. So, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but, you know, things like this happen every day. And I'm sad that this year, 2016, has been brutal with a lot of people passing. But thank God we have these memories and access to materials to be able to relive those great moments, to listen to, like, Prince singing once more. Those are the kind of things that I enjoy now even more. So hopefully, for all the years that I've been doing this podcast, you too are enjoying what I'm doing. And maybe one day, when I do pass on, hopefully before my kids pass, they get to listen to this show, or my wife gets to listen to this show, and they get to hear me enjoy my time and hear me talk to them, because they don't listen to my show. But that's okay, because I record myself. I'm recording my energy, and this energy is now saved. So in that future, they will see me, or rather hear me. We'll see about the video part later. So in essence, I will still be there at a different point in time. And who knows how I'll turn out, but hopefully it'll be for the better. And that's all that I have for right now. So I've been extremely busy with other things, and I do want to get other podcasts out there, so I'm tired of bitching and complaining that I'm going to do this. It will happen, I promise you. But we've been through a lot, and I'm going to leave it at that. So things will get better. Gene will be back. I will have more podcasts done again. Just hold on. We're just getting our feet wet. So, again, find me on the various social networks. You can email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
There is no life I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.